Today we're going to talk about the home as a place of ministry. And home is really the name of the game. Hospitality is the rule to play by if the home is to be used in ministering to others. Christ always touched where it hurt the most. And teacher, you know that some of those in your group are hurt in the area of the home. They desperately need some practical helps to change the atmosphere of their homes before they can open them up to others. Try to help them see that it's worth laying down everything to do something about. The home, whether it's a shack in a small town or a cottage in a miner's village, a farmhouse, a city apartment, a trailer, whatever it is, it has a fantastic influence. There may be only a handful in your group, but the area of their impact is staggering. One home can matter to hundreds. You know, there are two forces that pull at the home today that would try to be hospitable. There's the centrifugal force and the introvertical force. Now, the centrifugal force is that which pulls out, propels us out, and that includes such things as the husband's nights out with the fellas and the wives' clubs with the girls and business meetings each night of the week and regular trips to mamas and this sort of thing. And probably the most guilty organization as far as pulling us away from the home is the church. Now, God has sanctified just two organizations, the home and the church, and He founded the home first. I'm wondering, do you consider them in that order? The church should not be a competitor, but a defender of the home. All right, the other force is introvertical. This is the one that says, my home is a closed corporation. We will not let anyone in. Molly and me and the baby makes three, and the rest of the world can just go to hell. Now, neither of these type homes are given to hospitality. And we should pray that God would show us the balance that we need in order to make our homes places of ministry. When we find a balance through God's wise direction, we can begin to look on our homes with thought, planning, and vision. Since the home already exists, why not use it as a springboard to serve the Lord? Sometimes we look and look and look and say, how can I serve the Lord? Where can I serve Him? Well, how about your home? People love to be in a home atmosphere, a happy home atmosphere, and they will come into your home when you can't get them to go anywhere else. And you know, we need to be able to admit with Jay Adams that the Christian home is a place where sinful persons face the problems of a sinful world. We can't have a ministry with others by just pretending that we always have joy and that we never quarrel or get irritated, that we never lose our temper, in short, that we just live in ideal conditions. But you know, we can have a ministry through our home if we face our sinfulness together with God and appropriate His resources, which of course are all centered in Jesus Christ. Colossians 2:3 says, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Sinners live in the Christian home, but they are sinners saved by grace. And the sinless Savior lives there too, you see. He indwells every believer through the Holy Spirit, and that's what makes the difference in a Christian home. A home that reaches out, as did Abraham's and Rebecca's and Mary's and Martha's, must have some balance between the goals of the individual family members and the goals of the family as a team. The individuals, as well as the family unit, must find their identity in Christ and their strength in Him. Ephesians 3:17-20 exhorts us to be rooted and grounded in Christ's love. Those we reach have to see love in a tangible form in our lives, and that's why we should be sowing seeds of God's love no matter what we're doing. Such a home where our unity together is for the purpose of striving together for the faith of the gospel, as it says in Philippians 1:27, such a home can become a real haven and a resting place for us as well as for others. A home that is genuinely interested in radiating Christ to the world will have vision as well as hospitality. Proverbs 29:18 tells us that where there is no vision, the people perish. To put our eyes on God's field rather than our block or our community means lifting up our eyes and seeing the fields that are white unto harvest. Perhaps it means reaching out to an international student or an international worker who is here studying or working for some time in the United States. Perhaps to hand that person a pencil and paper and say, would you put down the shopping list so that we could make your favorite home dish for you? And then invite them over for dinner in an evening. Before they come, you could read up about things in their country, customs, and then let them stretch our understanding of another nation. Small family dinner served in a home where there is convictions from God about hospitality and where the atmosphere of the home is truly Christian's. This can mean a great deal to those from another land, and certainly could also spark a worldwide burden in family members for those around the world who do not know Jesus Christ. Think of the impact of a thoroughly Christian home on a pagan from a faraway land. The thrust into a nation can be made by those who believe God is not limited in his resources and will use whatever is offered him. Well, what about our homes? Are we using them as places of ministry to one another and to others who would see God in us and come to trust God through us? I trust that we would be hospitable without secretly wishing that we hadn't got to be, and that we would not be allowing forces outside of our home to make us so busy that we have no time for hospitality in our home, nor that we would allow our own exclusiveness of our family to keep us from reaching out to those who have real needs. The home can be a tremendous tool in the hand of God. May it be so with you, dear teacher, today.